offered this wonderful opportunity to be in your house, Lord, for another Sunday and another week. We appreciate your blessings unto us last week from Sunday school to the afternoon of evening service. We thank you for your blessings upon us on Wednesday. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings when we listen to the tape, also on Friday. Thank you, Lord, for different times, oh God, that we have to study personally, and oh God, our family altars. We thank you for different ways you have blessed us in the course of last week. Thank you for your protection upon us in our going out and coming in. Thank you for students, for workers, for business people, for travelers, the sick and the afflicted that you touch with your healing hands. We thank you for everyone, dear Father. Thank you for Lord's apostle travel, being with him, answering our prayers on his behalf, and answering his also on our behalf. We are grateful to you for everything. Thank you for bringing us to your house this morning. Lord, we want to ask, if there be anything in our life that is contrary to your word, may you forgive us, Heavenly Father. We ask that your blood will atone for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to ask, Lord, yet for those who have traveled out, that your presence will be with them where they are. Bless them today, Father, and your servant in Ghana, make use of him as a channel of blessing to your people as he round up his service today, O God. Let him be Heavenly Father. When he'll be coming back to Nigeria on Tuesday, may you bring him back here safely, Lord, for happy reunion, Lord, with the family and the church of God. Thank you, Eternal Father. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hand. Lord, thank you already for testimonies this morning, for special numbers, for the blessings in the Sunday school, for, oh God, the worship, oh God, the hymns and choruses, and all that you have done for us. We appreciate you. Our eyes are upon you, O living God, for greater blessings. We pray, dear Father, that you one more time open the windows of heaven and pour your blessings upon us. Help us, Lord, that we'll be better off at the end of the service than we are at the beginning of the service. That is always the desire of your word for us. Lord, may the enemy not succeed to cheat any of us of your blessings. May you fight for us and prevail, dear God. Thank you, dear Father. Take away weakness and tiredness. Keep all of us awakened and alive in your presence. Lord, that your blessing might not elude us, O God. Grant all our expectations to the glory of your name. Thank you, Eternal Father. Lord, when this service shall come to an end, may we have every cause to rejoice and praise your word in it. Wherever the saints are gathered, both in this country and in the other nations of the world, may your presence be felt, be seen, be manifested in their midst to the glory of your name. Thank you, righteous Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and for granting our petitions, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Shall we please be seated? Welcome ourselves to church in the name of Jesus Christ. Once again, is it all children that die before the year or age of accountability that makes heaven? The answer is yes. Is the question clear? And the answer also is clear. Then I will read. Let me read the question again. Is it all children that die before the year or age of accountability that makes heaven? The answer is yes. And you can go and read this question and answer of the prophet in page 433 of the COD, question 95. He gave more details. And then I will read just one quote out of many to also end that, so that it doesn't look as if. This one is from, "It shall be even as it was told me," 1950, August 18. And this continues like that, the CC program saying the same thing. Paragraph 7. Say, "I'll sell this by the authority of God's word. every baby that is under the age of uncountability dies, goes to glory. Yes, sir. Christ died to take away the sin of the world. And when you come to the age of accountability, we were all born in sin, but when he died, he taken away the sin. And when you come to the age of accountability, then you are responsible from then on. Which means no more automatic ticket to heaven. You are not responsible for something you did not do. Christ don't die to save you, to take away the sin that Adam caused. But when you sin, you have to confess your sins. First, you have to confess it. But the baby that don't know sin is not accountable for what it does. And Christ died to free that baby. And if it's born of a parent, drunkard, or whatever they might be, that baby goes to heaven. I believe it. And I believe if you come to recognition of the cross when it gets there, to know that Christ died for it, I believe that. Amen. And several quotes that I even have here and the ones I didn't tell. Even maybe highlighted still buttress that. The second question. What of in the case of Esau and Jacob before they were ever born? Or even born, whichever way. Well, this is a different thing altogether. This one is not talking of death now. This one is talking about predestination and election. God was talking about what he has finished about them. The record of God about their existence, their coming to earth, and how they will end their life, and where they will end it at the end of the day. Everything is summarized in what the prophet, the scripture was saying in Romans 9, where their case was brought up. He said, the purpose of election, that it might stand, that not of works of him that runneth, or what he said, it's of God that sheweth mercy. This one is talking about God's election in the life of Jacob, and that Esau was not an elect. One point I want to point out for you there is that a cat that is foredoomed to be a serpent's seed will never die until the age of accountability. That is still on the authority of God's word. Because if that baby ever died before the age of accountability, God is obligated to take the child to heaven. And because God cannot take a serpent's seed to heaven, a serpent's seed must outlive, must live where well and enter the age of accountability, no good and evil, where, and take his decision against God. Because the Bible said that God might be justified. There must be something that the judgment is based upon. That is why a child, if he dies before the age of accountability, is congratulations to the child. That one has made it. Now, Brother Abraham told us about Sharon Rose. He said that he prayed hard. The girl looked like the mother, and you know it was a time of sorrow. And God brought down the black sheet to tell him that your prayer is thrown back to your face. And you know what that happened. Brother Abraham said that later he understood why it has to be like that. That if that child has grown up to the age of accountability, she must have taken the wrong road. And God in his infinite wisdom, knowing that this child is mine, the only way I can make sure this child to be mine is to call the child at this young age. God bless you. If I go too much on that, that will be the sermon of the day. Because we will be. But if the writer is still not too satisfied, or maybe another question is still waking up, then we can see some of that time. The Lord bless you all. Let's sing from 3, 2, 1. I believe it is. I don't know about tomorrow. I know who's tomorrow. 3, 2, 1. Church is minor rites. This sincere the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. You can please be seated. Last Sunday, we started a chapter, The Age of Smyrna, which is a book. Last Sunday we spoke about the introduction and the messenger, then the city of Smyrna. So today we just check the salutation and the conditions of the age. Said this is Seth, the first and the last. Salutation is greeting. Who is talking? Is what that verse is talking about. It's speaking about who is speaking. And there is always something about any information determines the weight of that information, that determines the attitude of people towards it, that determines how it will be carried out. If they say a chief says something now, they will say chief of where? Where is he from? Which chief? But when you hear that the governor said in that state is the number one citizen and politically is the final authority in the state, whatever he says is binding on every citizen in that state. And when he speaks and gives instruction, the law enforcement, they are watching out for whosoever will break it. And they are going to get the person and teach him lessons of how to be obedient to constituted authorities. Then if the president of the country speaks, then it's another level altogether. Everybody in the country is obligated by the law to pay heed to what he says and to carry it out. In this case, the person talking, he said it is the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And the prophet said, it means that these are not the words of a mere human being. Because if you read Genesis chapter 5, that talks about the generation of Adam, the last statement concerning each person there is that, and he died. He lived for this number of years. He has sons and daughters. He do like this and he achieved this one. Finally, and he died. And when that statement is made, nothing is said under it. Nothing is said under it because there are no activities. He has gone to the silence. His case file, even with God, is closed. But this person speaking, he said the person that was dead and is alive. This is the reverse now. Abraham said that if it's a human being talking, he said, if you could speak from the grave, he will say that, which we know that nobody can talk from the grave. Those people that go and consult whatsoever, it's the spirit they invoke. The real person, he stayed dead. And Abraham maybe told us that if somebody's spirit could be caught today now, after paradise is empty, he said it means that the person is lost. It's in the regions of the lost, in the fifth dimension. Because where they invoke the spirit is in the ground. And Abraham said that the fifth dimension is under the ground there. But the sixth dimension where the saints go, it has been empty and is up under the throne of God. So he said, the first thing that happens to a man is that he's born. And the last thing that happens is that he dies. So this is not a man speaking. This is deity. Adam, he took life and turned it into death. But this man, Jesus, took death and turned it into life. Adam took innocence and turned it into guilt. This one took guilt and turned it into righteousness. Adam took a paradise and turned it into a waste, howling wilderness. The Garden of Eden, Abraham said, that was the headquarter of the earth. Then, the old earth is called Eden. It was after God has finished creating Eden that the Bible said that he formed a garden in the east of Eden. Then he put his son and daughter there. But Ram said, that was the headquarter. And said, that is the type of the four square city. First of all, when this art is renovated, but Ram says, you can stand there and look at Australia. And look at the utmost part of the earth, because everything is going to be leveled. No mountain, no valley. The seas are dried up. Everything is flat. You throw in a line like this one, it will plumb. It is God that level it. If sometimes Julabaga doing something, you see, Father, that there are still some little faults somewhere. They are one of the highest construction in the country. But this one is the Almighty God Himself. The whole earth will level up. No mountain, no valley. No hill, no nothing. You ask me, what about the rocks? This rock, they are like, look, they are like dust in the hand of the Almighty God. It's one that formed them. Merciful God. Everything will level up. The Bible in Peter's word, he said, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. All the substance, all these words, they will melt with fervent heat. Look, sometimes when I look at my phone and I look at the internet, I see where, what do they call this thing? You just see the art. Is it volcano? That you just see everything like this one, like if it's water. And these are sand, buildings. It will just be going like this, like if it is just rainwater. And everything is just leveling at that one. I say, if this one can happen in just now, what about the one the Almighty God is talking about? And the prophet said that one hill, there is going to be an eruption that will shoot up, that will form a hill, a gentle slope hill, very gentle slope, that when you are climbing it, you cannot feel any pain. Even though that time we don't even have pain anywhere in our bodies. But even naturally when you want to, because of how gentle that slope is, you know, there are some places you look physically on the earth now, you say, ah, this ground is level. Don't talk about it being level until you put a plumb. Sometimes, from where maybe the central superintendent is standing to this place, you say, ah, if I construct my building here, the ground is level. The block will be the same in a line. Until you put this, sometimes there will be a difference from that place to lose of three sets of blocks or four. The line you think is level. When you put the plumb, that's what will tell you actually what the level is. But the prophet said, when this comes up, he said, it is on top of that that the four square city will now be making now. And that will be the headquarter of the earth. And that is what the Bible called the new heaven. Every other place outside of that is called the new earth. So even like these children, we say that they will be in heaven. Brother Abraham asked further about the rapture. Brother Abraham said that is no. So they were asking further, what about the rapture? He said that is by predestination. If that baby is still predestinated, then he goes and joins the group of the bride. If he's not predestinated to be among the bride, then it will be in the heaven here, which is the new earth. Amen. These are certain signs. No uncertainty to them at all. They are certain signs. Oh, sure. Yes, it's not just to make ourselves happy. But these are completed programs. Completed and sealed. And delivered. Nothing, nothing. Heaven and earth will pass away. The Bible says, it says, a jot out of my word will never go unfulfilled. When Brother Abraham preached the rapture, he said, it has been spoken. He said, let it be done. The prophet said, but this one is coming back to turn an earth, rocking and reeling with destruction into another Eden. Adam took a life of fellowship and joy with God and turned it into a desert of spiritual darkness that brought forth all sin, moral decay, pain, suffering, delusion, and corruption that was within the souls of men. But this one, from all the tragic death and degradation that filled mankind, brought forth a life of righteousness and beauty. So that as sin once reigned unto death, Even so might men now reign in righteousness by one, Christ Jesus. Amen. And not as the offense was, though terrible indeed it was, but now much more is his gift unto eternal life. Amen. When we become Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit, we are redeemed. And when we are redeemed, where Abraham said, the curse that Adam brought is removed. And there's going to be a proof and a confirmation of that one, and that is what millennium will prove. Because the curse said that the day you eat thereof, that day you will die. And that is why man never live for one day. Because a day with God is 1,000 years here on earth. And we are going to live for 1,000 years here on this earth. And Abraham said further, because according to the scripture, he says Satan will be banned for 1,000 years. And he asked the prophet, Abraham said, it is a chain of circumstances. It's not a physical chain that you tie somebody and tie him to something like a post like this one. He said it's a change of circumstances because he has nobody to walk on. Because everybody that is in that place, they have God inside of them. They are like God. So he has nothing. No job to do. Nobody to deceive again. Nobody to torment. So he's jobless. So he's there, helpless. There's nothing he can do. Amen. And here he is, walking in the midst of those whom he has redeemed, even his church. And what were those who were redeemed? Were not many like Paul, murderers and corruptors? Were not many like the dying thief, robbers and men killers? No, there are people that human beings will condemn and say this one can never make it. But he just make it. And God doesn't have any gatekeeper among human beings. The person that is going to stand at the gate and say, you don't enter, you enter. If God have that kind of a person, it's only his own people he will be allowed to enter. Abraham said, for you to know, Abraham said that when he was doing the campaign, and when he said the prayer card, one of the constraints is that if we give this prayer card to the ministers that are sponsoring, say they will go and give it to their congregation. The one that first of all grabbed the 100 something, it's only his own church member will give. He won't give to another church, no matter how terrible the condition of the other family. That is human being for you. He's talking of ministers. Yoruba said, you give all to a madman, it's his own side, he will make the heap. May the Lord be our help. For God save his people. Without asking questions from anybody. Do I save this one? What do you think about this person? This one, you know that this one is very terrible. If you want to look at the scriptures, Jacob ought not to be among the number. His Saul of Tarsus ought not to be inside. Because they did much evil before God touched them. But because these things are always completed before anybody is born. That is one thing that made God so wonderful. So nobody has come to manifest anything good or evil. Nobody has come to do any service for God. You say, ah, this one serve God more than this one. No. It is completed. Amen. You won't expect the person like Charles Branham, the father of William Branham, to be saved. Somebody that he was the one that caused the sorrow of that family because of his drunkenness. The money of the family used to drink. And because of the drunkenness, he used cutlass to fight. It was those cutlass he used to fight that make him to be declared wanted and he ran away. He couldn't surface in that place. He and the wife could not see for years because he knew that if he tried, he would be picked up to come and face Nemesis. He made guess of the messenger of the age. He said, this is the only sister I have. Your own child that is not a drunkard,
Your own child that is trying to be responsible. Your own child that God has spoken to. Your own child that God is protecting. Your own child that God actually is trying to use as a messenger of the age. Something that should be your pride, your honor, your glory. You are making jest of it. That is the only CC I raise. I raise only one sister, that is it. And when very serious insult. When he heard that, me, CC, I mean, give me that. Give me that. And he really, he collected it. And he was carrying it today. He had all that God has spoken to him since he has been small. He wanted to cancel everything that day. Because of this insulting word that was given to him by his father in the presence of a visitor. But when God has determined something, he has determined and that's all. That same feeling of power came again. I shook him and they see and they just he dropped it in and ran away. The father said, I'll not tell you. He said, see, that is the interpretation of the father. He couldn't see the supernatural side of it. Even though he was told that there was a light that came in where this boy was born. Even though he was told. Even though he was told that this boy used to say something so. And sometimes they come to power because some of them are seeing future. But there are some of them that are coming real. He couldn't see that. Yet, with all that, because Brother Abraham, he really still loved the father that put them in that condition. He still loved the father because he know that this is the very good through whom I come to the world. He still loved the father that until he was telling us in the message, the land book of life, that if I'm given an option, that if I press this button, I will lose, I will get $1 million or $1 million or whatever, or my father will come. That he said, I will give up the $1 million and let my father come so that I can talk to him again. That is how much he loved the man. And because he loved the man like that, he went to God to pray for him. Don't let my father die as a sinner. And nothing was happening. He continued drinking. He drank the last 2 weeks to his death. Then it was on his dying bed, when he can no more move to anywhere, go to anywhere, that finally he accepted Christ. No opportunity for water baptism. And yet, Brother Abraham said, he is there. He said, because there are two angels that were present, the red angel and the white angel. He said, the white angel finally took him. Who are you to say that? How can God just allow white angel? We can white angel like that. That just come and teach somebody that done evil all these years. And now see one angel come and take him. You go and ask God those questions. You probably will get an answer. You go and ask God those questions. God makes his decisions without consulting anybody. He doesn't consult anybody. He doesn't ask you for any reason why, whether I should do this or do this one. If it is you, you say, you don't see the way his mouth bent. Look at his head. See his head, very big. Whether the head is big, whether the mouth straight or bent, whether the eye not straight, then your cup of tea be that one. What God is dealing with is his soul. And it is his soul that is predestinated. And as long as God has penned it down, that this one is my own, let the whole world be against it. That is God's decision. Amen. All trophies of his grace, all brought back from the dead, all made alive in Christ Jesus, the Lord. I wonder if you noted the salutation to the first age and then noted the one to this age. Just put them together. Listen now. The salutation to the first age is, say, this sincere E, that holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the churches. No, he said, gold, seven golden candlesticks. That's where Bible Abraham says, those are the churches. And the seven stars are the messengers to the seven church ages. The one that holds the seven messengers in his right hand and is walking in the midst of the churches. That is the salutation to the first church age. Now the second church age is now saying, this is here the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. This is one and the same person. Because both instances, you know that there is nobody that fits in physical realm in this world history, whether that is gone by or yet to be born. Nobody fits in at all. Amen. And he's letting us know that the church is. And the seed of the fruit is in the midst of the fruit. So is he, the royal seed, in the midst of the church. As the seed alone has life in him, so is he, the author of life, to the church. His walking signifies his untiring care of it. No, he's walking in the midst of the churches. Somebody that is walking is active, is inspected, is looking at things, whether they are okay, they are not okay, to be able to correct them, to put them in place. He doesn't stay one corner and then say, let everything go. Because it is his own church. He is watching over it day and night. Amen. He is the chief shepherd watching over his own. That is his right. For he bought that church with his own blood. For somebody to buy something with his own blood. In the realm of human beings, they used to talk about the founding fathers of each country. Those are the people that fought for the victory, I mean for independence of the country. And in each country, those people's names are written in gold. Their names are immortalized in their own language. This immortalization is to the end of this world. Yes, that is as far as the immortalization goes. You ought not to use that word, but that's the word they are using anyhow. But it's just to express something. If you go to Ghana, you see they talk about the big six. Those are the six. I can't remember how many of them are in Nigeria. Nnamdi Azikiwe, this, that in Nigeria. Yeah. Till tomorrow, they still have special honor for them. But these people, Some of them did not even die while they are fighting. They outlived the independence and they partook of the independence and they enjoyed the benefit of the independence. This one, for Christ to buy the church, he bought it with his own blood. And the blood is greater than, is the life of the person. Talk about the richest man in the world. Ask him that your wealth, do you give up your wealth or give up your life? He will tell you, I give up the wealth. Let me live. Because he knows that if he leaves, he can start making another money. But when he dies, that is his end. But Christ bought that church with his own blood. That is the highest. That is the most quality. Anything you can ever, that is the most valuable thing in earth and heaven. That could be spent to buy something. And he bought the church with his own blood. So he has a right to watch over it. He has a duty to make sure he preserves it. He has a right to be busy over the church. That is why you see that nothing is ever out of kata. Brother said that sometimes you think that things are out of kata. He said, at all, at all. He said, the curve of God's will, they run slow, he said, but they are sure. Oh, yeah. Things sometimes in the eyes of human beings. Say, this one go like this, this one don't scatter like this. Nothing scatters. We are seeing playing back God's recorded program. That's what we see that is being played back on a daily basis. May the Lord be our help. All right. The prophet says, that blood is the blood of God. The one who holds that church is God, the very God. He is the first and the last. That title spares eternity. The first and the last. If you want to talk about first, how did the world even exist? It existed by someone who had been existing before the world started. You talk about the last. Is the person that will still be existing after the world has ended. Alright. Now the prophet said, he was dead and is alive. He paid the price, so he has sole ownership of the temple of God. He rules it. He's worshipped in it. He resents anyone taking over his lordship and authority. He cannot bear with anybody that is trying to share his glory with him. He cannot. Because him and somebody did not buy the church. Him and someone did not die for the church. It was him and him alone that did the work of redemption. It's him and him alone that even has his own people in his heart before they were manifested. It is him and him alone that knows who and who is who. Amen. No doubt, the reason he introduces himself to each age as deity is to warn and to comfort the people. Two things. That is why he has to tell the person who is speaking. He wants the people to know that this is the person speaking. So mind what to do with what you are hearing. He wants the false vine and he comforts the true vine. You can see the way the preaching goes sometimes. Because Brother Brown said, there is twin in every revival. Every revival give birth to twins. Esau and Jacob. And the word of God goes to both of them. But finally, Esau was separated from Jacob. Ishmael and Isaac, finally, they were separated. And it will come to pass, oh man. When Abraham preached the message, the seed shall not be held with the shock. He said, finally, that the shock will give his strength to the seed. That is deep. All the spirituality that is shocking that they have now, it will go to the seed. A day is coming that they will come and be natural human beings like themselves. Now they can see, preach, and anointing will fall. That time, no anointing. No inspiration. They will be dry. Like a dry stick. He wants the first vine and he comforts the true vine. This is the one true Almighty God. Hear him and live. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The conditions of the age. Say, I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them we say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Amen. I know thy works and thy tribulation and thy poverty, but thou art rich. You know, it's good that it's God that talks. Because if it's human being, you see me that I am poor, and you are coming to say that, bro, I know that you are very poor, but I know you are also rich. Look, the way I will look at your face, I will say, look, you are not just very honest. Yes. Which one are you just going to say like this? Or? If you know that you have any help to render help and that's all. Don't be saying you will be talking here and there. But God look at the people. Say, I know your poverty. I know your tribulation. He said, but you are rich. There must be something that made God to make that statement. There must be something he's looking at. Now the prophet said that the key to this age is most evidently tribulation. The age of Smyrna, which is the second church age, the key to that age is tribulation. If there was tribulation in the first age, which we know there was, Jesus spoke to the disciples. One time the mothers of the two sons of Zebedee, they came to the service of Jesus Christ and she raised her hand to ask for a request, and Jesus Christ said, Madam, what is your request? Say, this is my two boys that are in your church that are following you. Already you are giving them position of apostle. That's fine. That I appreciate. But there is something else I want you to do. Say, what is it? Do it that, see these other ones that are, push them here. Let my two boys, one sit next to you by the left, the other one sit next to you by your right. That's what I want. Jesus said, the cup that I drink, can they drink it? And the baptism I'm baptized with, can they be baptized with it? The boys said we are able. There's no kind of cup we can drink that we will not drink. Any baptism, whether now by fire, bed, we are ready to be baptized with it. Only because they want position. They don't understand what they are talking about. Jesus said, anyhow, definitely you will drink the cup. And you go through the same baptism. Brother Bram told us that the cup is a cup of agony. The things that they will go through. And the baptism is death. That's why all of them were also killed. Some will be crucified like this. Some upside down. See, we tie some to horse dragging that is called with scatter. As it's going, all is brave. They will find their level. When they are through with him, then they will cut it off and that's all. Different type of things they were. They died, but the anointing was there for them to go through it. When we come to the turn of Peter, say, I'm not fit to be crucified the way my Lord was crucified. He was crucified head up. You turn him upside down and crucify him like that. And they turn him upside down and crucify him like that. Jesus was looking at them. He didn't come and deliver any of them. It was only John that wrote the book of Revelation that supernatural happened. And God have his reason for everything because his works has not yet been finished. And Abraham said that until what you are allotted to do finishes, he said that come for you 1,000 times. He go back empty-handed 1,000 times. Because his work has not yet been finished, they catch him, say this one, the one that used to lay head on his bosom. We have to do something special for this one. We have to lay head on his bosom. Say his beloved is this one. Okay, we will show how beloved you are now. They went to get a drum of grease. And put him inside. And put firewood. And put fire. This one, the way we fry this one fat. This one will be suya for the something. So they boil him for 24 hours. Even by that time, even the bone itself ought to have become soft. For one, there is no human being that can stay inside liquid for 15 minutes. Except you are a diver. Except you are a swimmer. And you know how to survive. That then you will now survive. This one, they bury him inside. Maybe cover it. Because these people don't know who they are dealing with. The creator of heaven and earth. When they open at the end of the 24 hours, they see a fresh man come out. What is this one? I bet the witchcraft of this one pass anything. I say this one is a special witch. He said, this one can no more live among us. So they have to carry him to the eyes of Patmos. He said, that place where there is a crocodile, where there is a cobras, all kinds of terrible animals, go and bewitch those ones. He got there too, Jehovah descended. Heaven came down. And right there, what we have that we are dealing with now was given to him. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Brown said that it is this book of Revelation that Jesus Christ himself wrote by personally appearing to his scribe. Everything that Satan does to a child of God, he's just promoting him. It looks like evil, but you are promoting him. He might feel it, but you are promoting him. At the end of the day, Job said, after he has charged me, I will come out like gold. Amen. If there was tribulation in the first age, there is now predicted and intensified tribulation throughout the second age. There is no doubt but what the following words of Paul apply to the mass of Christians, wherever they were in the world and in every age. I want to repeat. There is no doubt but what the following words that I want to read down, or Brother Paul, apply to the mass of Christians wherever they were in the world and in every age, including this our age. Hebrews 10, 32 to 38. Say, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, he endured a great fight of afflictions. After you become Christians, there are afflictions that Satan, because you have now left the camp of Satan. Brother Abraham said that some people used to tell their congregation that when you become a Christian, things become fine, rosy, and easy. Brother Abraham said there are two things. Either he has not experienced what he's talking about, or he's deceiving you. It's one out of the two. He said when you become a Christian, you become the archenemy of Satan. All the guns of hell, he said, they are trained towards you. You are enlisted into the army of God, and you start to fight. And this Christian race is fight. It's fight on daily basis. It's fight on daily basis. It's fight to finish. Brother Abraham said that if Satan is not pursuing you, he has gotten you. I just thank God there's no trial, there's no temptation. It's a terrible testimony you are offering from your mouth. Very terrible one. If you know the implication of what we are saying, you for no sir. Let's continue. Call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock. Don't fear, don't fear, sir, and we go. Both by reproaches and afflictions. And partly, whilst he became companions of them that were so used. He said, Brother Paul was saying, remember those times. When we came, look, when we came to this message, we were driven from home. That this kind of religion is trained to this area. I bet shift. And we shifted. Because we know who we believe. We are sure of what we are standing on. We confronted clergies that are highly placed. We confronted them. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul said, because it is the power of God unto salvation unto them that believe. We told them that this is, you are deceiving the ears of the people. We reel out the doctrines that they have been holding and in eyes. It's contrary to the scriptures. When they discover you about this, that boy is mad. Did you go and check him? Maybe to, for medical help. Nothing is wrong with him. Nothing is wrong with him. The one that said that one, he died not very long. Nothing is wrong with him. I just come to my right senses. When I was with them, that was when I was out of my senses. But now I just come to my right senses. Brother Bram said, you are not a normal person. You are not in your right senses until you become a Christian. You are still abnormal. For he had compassion of me in my bones, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Amen. It takes revelation to do that. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Amen. Say the mere association of kind-hearted people with the true believer might well bring death in return for their kindness. that is maybe a righteous person in such an age that is trying to show kindness to somebody that is a believer, and they know and they catch it. People that they want them to suffer, they don't want nobody to show them mercy, and you are going to go and be showing them mercy, it could mean the death of that person. Now the Lord God Almighty says, I know. When all these things were going on, he said, I know. Because he's walking in the midst of the churches. So he see what is going on. But he said, I know them. There he is walking in the midst of his people. There he is the chief shepherd of the flock. But does he hold back the persecution? He didn't hold it back. He allowed the persecution to continue. Does he stem the tribulation? He didn't stop it. He allowed it to proceed. Satan at work. He allowed Satan to anoint the people. And they are tormenting his own children. And he's inspecting them. Say, I know. I know what is happening. I know what the devil is doing. I know how you are suffering. I know. Just, I know. I just know. I know. The prophet said, no, he does not. He simply says, I know your tribulation. I am not at all unmindful of your suffering. I am aware of them. What a stumbling block this is to so many people. If this will happen in the realm of human beings, obviously, in fact, they will say he should tend to his business. He should stop saying that. Say, I know, I know. I better stop that. Just stop that. I know, I know. What do you know? You know, you are claiming you have power. You are claiming you can do all things. You are claiming that, the promises. You are claiming all those and you say, you know. Wait, look, we want to tell you that you don't know. It is in the realm of human beings. They say, look, you don't know. You are just thinking, you know, you don't know anything. Do you know what I'm suffering? Are you the one suffering? You don't know anything. But God say, I know. So are you arguing with God? He said, I know. When we are sick as human beings, talking to them, say, nobody know what I'm passing through. Nobody know, but somebody say he knows. Sometimes the doctor gun that is examining you does not even know. But somebody say he knows. You do X-ray, you do scan, and they say they cannot relay clinical. Somebody say he knows. The person that need to know. I really don't need to know. I can only know what is inside my body. I can't know what is inside your body. But there is somebody that says, I know. Amen. Like Israel, they wondered if God really loves them. How can God be just and loving if he stands by and watches his people suffer? No, it's a question that human beings cannot comprehend. Why must I suffer? Also answer this question. Who should really suffer? Who really should suffer? Who do you think suffering fits? Who do you even think that Jesus ought to suffer? Jesus that came to this world without sin. Do you think he should suffer? Maybe you go back and read the suffering he went through. This is a person that before he was born, he already had enemies. He has enemies throughout his life. When he died finished, he still have enemy. When he rose, he have enemy. Up to now, he still have enemy. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit and he went about doing evil, doing good. Despite all that, he still have enemies. Then tell me whether he ought to suffer. He even asked them a question. He said, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of them do you stone me? They say, for good works, we don't stone you. Did you even acknowledge the good works? Did you even thank him for the good works? Did you even praise him for it? Say, for good works, we don't stone you. But you being a man, calling yourself God. Is that a problem with you? But after that, you say, well, I don't believe you are God. That's why I'm going your way. But look at the good works he has done. Human being. A man that have been mad in their city, that occupied a whole street, that nobody passes, that he closed the road. Be you governor or chief or anything, nobody passes the place. He's a road labeled man of Gadara Street. But one day Jesus passed that road. I'm sure that the people of that place will be, hey, this man didn't know. He didn't know that nobody passes that road. He know what is in the road. He has a reason to pass the place. And he went there himself. And the man rowled up. He ran. Then, but when he looked at his front, his eye opened. He said, why have you come to torment us before our time? Say, I know you, son of the living God. Jesus said, keep quiet. What is your name? Say, we are legion. We are plenty here. The demons are legions. Thousands that are there. Brother Brown said that a legion is from 2,000. Say, we are here. Demons. Say, come out of here. They say, Abek, no one thing. Accommodation is very scarce. If we come out here, no other accommodation, I will holler for us. Give us another place to enter. Those swan, can we enter? They say, yes, you can go there. Then they enter the swan. And the swan, they ran mad because the spirit that was cast out of there was madness. And the Bible said that they ran greedily. Mad. Nobody can run to death. Animal run away from death. But because of madness, the spirit that entered into them, they ran greedily into the water and they perished there. Brother said, when they enter and perish, he said, those spirits believe. And he said, it's some of those spirits that entered into the mania of Oregon that came to confront him on the platform. Brother said that when the people look at it, that he look as if at this, the revival meeting of this man is going to affect our economy. They gathered together and came to him. Say, Oga revivalist, we thank God for you, but one thing we want to request, I beg me to leave our place. Carry your revival meeting to another city. You don't do the one you do, you don't do. Don't do another one. Just move, I beg. Just move. That's human being for you. They value livestock than the life of human being. The Bible said that this man that had run away from home and friends came back to his right mind, went back to his family, and there was a peaceful home again. Instead of them to rejoice and organize a thanksgiving service and dance to the glory of God and look for a house where they will say, Abed, this house is your own. This is where you are going to be living. Whatever you have need of, we will be supplying it. Oh yeah, continue your revival service here. Opposite was the case. A man like that, is it the one that ought to suffer? Say, why am I suffering? Amen. Now the prophet says, this is what they ask in Malachi 1:1-3. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, said the Lord, yet we say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau, Jacob's brother, God asking us, said the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mantle and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. The children of Israel, they were asking God, we don't understand this your type of love. You are just claiming to love us. We can't see it. We don't see what we are talking about love there at all. You didn't see it. Don't you see that Esau was Jacob's brother? And yet, you don't see Esau. I laid this mountain waste for the dragons of the, and you are asking me whether I love you. Now the prophet said, you see, they could not figure out God's love. They thought that love meant no suffering. And that is what I think people still have in mind today. That the much God love you, the much you don't have to suffer. It's opposite of. It's opposite. We'll go, Brother Bram, will she say something tougher as you go ahead? They thought that love meant a baby with parental care. But God said that his love was elective love. Even these babies of 18, there is an age that baby got to, that the father or the mother begin to get smoky and begin to trash the child. What are they manifesting to the child? Love. Because they don't want the child to turn to be a bad child. They want the child to resemble them to come out with a good character. That is the purpose of the cane. It is, as the child is growing, the cane will be getting bigger. The cane will be getting bigger. It will be getting bigger. And the number that the child is giving. The ages pass. My dad used to tell us how they used to beat them in their time. I thank God I never lived at that time. He said, if this house hear noise from the other side that they are beating the child, he said, they will take him from here and go there to go and join them to beat the child. Say, what is happening? They now say, this is what the child did. And then you are still shouting. They will join to beat the child. That is the training they have at that time. Do that affair. When in I thank God I never, because even in my own time, it reached a time that my dad wanted to beat me. I jump out. He was to beat me and my junior. I went there, my junior collected his phone. When he collected his phone, it was wire. I look at this wire. This wire I'm looking so. I'm not sure I'll be able to take this thing. And my junior has already collected. I advanced my leg. My dad follows suit. We made a country race until I made sure I got to a man that is older than him. Because it is a taboo for anybody to go and beat a child when he's taking shelter with an elderly person. You will take a course. So immediately I got to that man, hold him. The man said, leave him. Then my dad said, no problem, I will not beat you again. But that's not the end of it. See, I won't flog you again. So, a short while, I come back to the house. I promise I'm not going to flog you. But one thing, do like this. See, your leg must not come down. He has said, I will not. He didn't say, I will not punish it. He said, I will not beat it. Now, wisdom. As he suffer, as he led obedient by the things that I suffer. This one was worse than to have collected the cane, but not like the ones before. But the present ones now, may God be merciful to them, that they will not rot into death. If you rot into death, remember it is your life that is ruined. So if you ever happen to have a parent that corrects you, you better be thankful in your life. Because if you rot into death, now you just rot it. It's your life that is rotting. And people will desert you. They will leave you to suffer shame and disgrace on your own as a person. Because what a man sow, that is going to reap. Amen. But God said that his love was elective love. The proof of his election, the proof of his love is election. That no matter what happened, his love was proven truly by the fact that they were chosen unto salvation. That is the proof of God's love. There are millions, Abraham said, that perish when God called you and you came to Christ. There are many he never talked to. He just left them. It's like in a home. If a child is a bastard child in a home and is being treated like a bastard child, you will take your own child, flog him, flog him, flog him, as you say, you, and whatever you want to do, you do. You are throwing that person that is a bastard child. That child at that time may be rejoicing. But if he have understanding, he ought to be weeping. Because he is being packaged for a rotten life. He is being packaged for a life that will make him either an armed robber or whatsoever in life. That we are meant to not it. That he going to be the servant of his colleagues. Amen. And some people, let me say this as a part. Some people will get, maybe have a house A, house F. That one, anything, they will panabate it. Anything, they will kick him here and there. Their own child. They just, let me just say, oh, the ear small. Be careful, be careful. But if you see something, go. So, in essence, they are training that servant and they are killing their own child. Yoruba have an adage. Dan Loro. The child you think you are tormenting, you are only training the child. Tomorrow, you will become a great person. Tomorrow, your own child will be a beggar. Might be a servant under that same servant. Tomorrow. That's what you are preparing. Amen. Because God has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He may commit you to death as he did Paul. After he has chosen you. After he has expressed his love to you. After he has confirmed that you are his elect. He may commit you to death. It means nothing. Some of the stumbling block of the people is that they say the way Brother Abraham died. Where is it written in the Bible how a child of God must die? Blind people. Where is it written? You show me Old Testament and New Testament. Where it is written how a child of God should die. Then I will show you in the scriptures how John the Baptist died. At the request of a careless dancer, the daughter, the product of a terrible relationship. And he was buried without it. Jesus Christ himself, the Prince of Glory, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, he was crucified naked. Until unbelievers look at him, I say he saved others, he could not save himself. Then this testimony they are giving, I say we can't understand it. One look at him. He said, you come down from the cross now. This is the time we want to believe you now. All your former sermons, we never believe. But this is the time, but we have asked so many. But in summary, we want to everything now. If you come down now, we now believe you. He's not going to come down. The reason why you couldn't come to him when you ought to come to him is because you are none of his own. He's not going to come down, and he never come down. And they never believed him. But right in that atmosphere, there was one on the left. He said, well, like what you yourself, you hear what people are saying. We are all in this thing now. Me, I'm expecting that you will deliver yourself and deliver us also. Because what is the use of saying you have power, you do this, all the testimony we have been hearing? So we can't see proof here now. The one by the right, who have the seed of God in him, he first of all turned to that one and said, you are a foolish man. Keep your mouth shut. Do you know what you are talking about? Do you know who is this person that is beside us here? The kind of work we do, the kind of life we live, was he the same one he lived? He's a man that is sinless. We are reaping what we sow. It's what we are reaping here. So, when he finished dealing with that one, Jesus Christ kept quiet. He was just waiting and looking. He was waiting. Listen. Jesus did not rebuke that one on the left. It was this man that was, his fellow man was dealing with it. When he finished, then he turned to Christ. He said, I beg, remember me when you come to your kingdom. The person that I kept quiet since, that I have not been talking, that time he opened his mouth. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. The two people, they live the same type of life. They live like armed robbers, live like ragamuffins, renegade, and all kinds of evil. They did all to their last minute in life. But the last opportunity that both of them had, because the opportunity was not given only to this one. If this one has spoken, if the one on the left has spoken the way the one on the right has spoken, he will have also been saved. Because God is no partial of anybody. But Jesus said, make a tree good. He said, the fruit will be good. Make a tree corrupt. He said, the fruit will also be corrupt. He said, how can you be evil, speak good things? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he was speaking what is buried in his heart. The seed in his heart was the one speaking. And the seed in the heart of this one was also speaking. And then that determined the destination of both of them. May the Lord be gracious unto us. Amen. That is his prerogative. He is sovereign. But it is all with a purpose. This purpose, like we said earlier, the reason why Sharon was taken at that age, let me say, for dual purpose. For one, God knew that if this child grows to the age of accountability, she will take the wrong road. Number two, it is also one of the strokes that the prophet was supposed to collect to be able to teach him obedience. As a messenger of the age, God wanted to teach him obedience, to be obedient to his instruction at all times. Never to listen to what anybody has said. Because Adam listened to his wife, brought up to this condition. And here is the messenger of the age that God has determined to use, and he can never change it for any other person. And he wanted to start the ministry by listening to woman. He said, I listened to my mother-in-law. He said, that's where my trouble started. What God was doing at that time was with a purpose. He has a reason for everything. Sharon is saved. The father also was saved. For the father did not live for that. The father died at 52. Abraham said, when I look at him, I thought my father will live to be 100 years of age. Say, boy, he died at 52. With all that, the man was still saved at the last minute of his life. Nothing can take God by emergency. There is no situation that is out of kilter. How you will live your life on this earth will be determined by your obedience to God's word and your adherence to his instructions. But where you will spend your eternity is predetermined by God before you come here. That may be strong for somebody, but that is summary of the truth. The way you will live your life here will be determined by your adherence to God's word, your obedience to his instructions, the way you serve him and subject yourself, bring yourself to nothing, and humble yourself before him, will determine how you will enjoy this life. But you talk about where you will end it, you can be a ragamuffin and begin to scatter everywhere. It has nothing to do with where you will spend your eternity. Where you will spend your eternity is predetermined before you come here. You can jump up and say, okay, that be the case, since it's already predetermined, let me be doing what you like. Oh, you will see it. You will see it. If I show you an example, you will run away from it. Amen. If he did not have a purpose, then he will be the author of frustration and not of peace. If God does anything or allows anything without a reason, just do it anyhow. Then it's like we human beings. You'll be the author of frustration, author of sorrow. And it's not the author of peace there. Whatever God does, whatever God allows, whatever God approves, is with a purpose. He has something to achieve with it. That is why the Bible said that in all things we should give thanks to God. Because that purpose is not yet known to us, but he knows why. Like the song we sang, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. It may bring poverty, it may bring wealth, it may bring whatsoever, but I know who holds my hand. That is what really matters. That's what matters. If you set your heart, okay, let me not go ahead of myself. Amen. His purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we will be made perfect, be established, strengthened, and settled. Amen. Sometimes you look at people today, say this person they enjoy it. You go look back and see the days of suffering. Look back and see the days of suffering. If the sufferings are written out and you are shown to you, whether you want something like this one, you will do your finger like this very fast. How many times? As Job said, he puts strength in us. Job 23:6b. You see, he himself suffered. That's correct. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He was actually made perfect by the things that he suffered. Amen. Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Amen. In plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. These godly characters that people admire, that people look at, it was made perfect by suffering. And according to Paul, he has left his church a measure of suffering, that they too, by their faith in God, while suffering for him, will come to a place of perfection. I'm going to read the scripture now in Matthew also. Things that Jesus promised, he said, with persecution. You will get this, you will get this, you will get this. Those that follow me, he also persecution, he attached you there. I know that you may go and read the other gospel that doesn't have persecution there. But remember that one is there. If you read Matthew, read Luke. If you read Mark, read everything, all of them is complete. Amen. Why did he want this? James 1:2-4. Say, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. Why does he stand by? The reason is in Romans 8:17-18. And if children then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Whatever we suffer now is incomparable at all. Brother Paul said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered into the hearts of man the things that God have in store for them that love. Amen. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot live with him. Period. We are coming to some hard nuts now that will peel, that we got to swallow. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot live with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for that is that character simply is never made without suffering. When you see people that have no character or whatsoever, they have not passed through suffering. The best trainer in this life is suffering. That is the best trainer. Situation will train you better. If everything is just, that is why you see the children of these rich people that doesn't have need of anything, they are always rotting to the bones. When they want 1 naira, they get 100 naira. So they don't know anything about ashes. They don't know anything about, those are the ones that do maybe monthly medical checkup. Because different doctors for different things. They want to check their nose, that will check their skin, that will check their fingernails, that will check their teeth. The different person that will check this one, check that one. It's fine. Character is a gift. Character is a victory, not a gift. God does not give anybody character by gift. Say, I give you this good character. You have to work towards it. You have to fight for it. Say, this child, let's use physical. This child is respectful. He was taught. And in the days of his teaching, he must have received some great people well. Maybe in the first instance, be greeting people well. Then you talk it about 2 or 3 times, you know here. Then the next time, I say you should be greeting people well. Then that one, we carry more weight. The next time, when he wants to greet people and he see your eyes, he know what that means. He know what that means. That another slap may be coming. If so, then that is how. So before people will say, Allah that child, greet people well. Some training happen. He receives some bulletin, some slap, some caning, and so on and so forth. He has received before he is able to come to that. But the ones that are not trained, they get to an age when they are molded, there's nothing you can do again. You finish. So Yoruba have two adage. Say, some are trained, some did not accept training. When they say some are not trained, they are talking to the parents. When they say they did not receive training, it means that they are talking directly to the child. Maybe they know that the parents do train their children. But this one did not accept training. The message is very clear to whosoever. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign. Because power apart from character is satanic. You give power to somebody without character, he will rule the entire world. He doesn't care. A man like Abacha. What does he care? For almost 15 years, we are receiving the money he put in order. I was wondering that how many years did this man reign? This country have money. How many years did he rule? There are millions of dollars that he was putting in other countries that he was able to amass them within those number of years. That he reigned. His senior colleague, IBB, is the second richest politician according to their statistics in Nigeria. Since that time that he has reigned, that he has ruled, the money he has stored here and there, they have billions of dollars now. What will he do with them? Will he, because of that one, eat 10 times a day? Will he wear too close at the same time? Even now that his day, he doesn't used to leave that his house now. So even all the clothes he has, where is he wearing them to? They are there, now nobody will wear them. They just rot. One day they go and burn them. So then what is it all about? The sufferings that we are suffering in this Nigeria, human beings are responsible for it. That were inspired by the devil. Because the money that are stolen in this Nigeria, if you gather, there are trillions of dollars. That if you put them in this country, it will be better than the United States. I'm telling you the fact. God saw it. He allowed it. It is in the midst of it that strong Christians are coming out. Please, we are angels here. Those ones are rotting to the bones. You look as if it's not Malachi 4, they are falling. I don't know the side of Malachi it is. Those who know the fact, it's terrible. And you go to countries, South Africa, I see the actions of even ministers. I say, this will fear me. For Nigeria, we don't have this now. See, if we don't have anything in Nigeria, we have a spiritual condition that is better than several other countries. Several other countries. Even the places we have not been, we are in touch with things that happen there all the time. That people in Nigeria, they will see fear to do. May the Lord be gracious unto us. This special situation in Nigeria, Abraham told us in the message dedication. He said, if you go to a country where the temperature is warm, he said that's where you have hardwood. So when you go to a cold country, that's where you have softwoods. He said it also applies to spiritual also. He said when you see where the message is preached very hot, that's where you also have solid Christians. The things we preach here, you dare not preach some of them in U.S. Because they say yeah, you are going to personal something. Just preach the message. What is the message? I don't understand what you are talking about the message. When you remove the life out of the message, you are preaching nonsense. The thing we are preaching that we are calling message here, the life of Noah that have lived for 1,000 years, we extract it here. Everybody will see it. If there is any evil there, we will laugh at him. The life of Cain, it's extra here. The Abel is extra here. All the characters in the scripture, good and bad, is extra. That is what compiles the Bible. Come to the message of the hour itself. It's full of lies. Brother Bram narrated his own life, every detail of his life. He carried his wife, he tear her to pieces. When she didn't greet well, he took her. When the daughter was twitching, he took her. Then you are talking about, what are you talking about? Say, only preach me. What are you? Nonsense. If you don't touch the life of the people, it's not a sermon. What is a sermon? Any country I will go to, they will not allow me to preach my heart. To hell with their countries. And their money perish with them. When I preach in South Africa, somebody watched the video in US. He said, say, for you to be able to preach like this outside of your country. Say, for you to, he said, Ghana. But he watched, he said, for you to be able to preach like the outside of your country. So you are very bold. Up till now, is he listening to my sermons? I know fear face. If you intend to give me money and the sermon is not to pocket your money, and your money perish with you. Because if you are not preaching for money, if money comes, to praise God. If it doesn't come, we'll survive. Because Brother Abraham said, if God calls you, he'll take care of you. Oh, that is absolutely the truth. He has done that all this year, very faithfully. Without, you don't need to beg anybody. You don't need to, because of that, rob anybody on the head. You do anything, you get it straight. Oh, sure. I may be talking to people outside here, but the people here, they know me. I don't care what you put on your head. You know, one year rebuke, just behave. Just behave. You misbehave, you get it. May God be our help. The essence of Christ going to the cross to die is that he wants to have sons and daughters that will have his own spirit and live the way he lived. That is the essence of him going to Calvary. Not to have church members. Not to have people that are compromisers. Not to have people that you cannot differentiate them from the world. Christians are different from the people of the world. Their lives are different. Their ways are different. Their talking are different. Their dressing are different. Everything about them is different. Their ambition is different. Amen. Power without character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and he sat down in his father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when it comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Taking no strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. That's 1 Peter 4:12. Say, is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? No, sir. And we all have trials. We are all tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through that. Everybody goes through trials. Everybody. Hebrews, okay. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God. This is a strong something. A church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God. That is strong, man. So some people, when they see maybe situations in the church, God is not in their midst. You are a poor, you have a poor discernment. And you are spiritually barren. Hebrews 12:6, he said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if we be without chastisement, whereof we all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Anybody that is without chastisement, that God does not correct. You know, sometimes we parents, in trying to raise our children, we even beat them for something that they actually are not guilty of. It does happen. Because you know that this one is the one that used to overplay. You now see a cup break now. Oh yeah, come. This boy, you see, you already made up your mind. This boy, he has broken this cup. So already, you're already calling for him to come out. And maybe it's not even the one that, because of the pain of seeing the cup broken, maybe because the way you have been running up and down before, you have concluded that he's the one that broke the cup. And without even making mess, now you have broken the cup. This and that. Then the child will start crying. I'm not the one. It may be after much investigation, you find out that he's really not the one. He said, you yourself. Say, I tell you, if it's not, it's because of the way that you used to behave. Brother Paul, when he was talking, he said, we have fathers of our flesh that corrected us after their own pleasure. He said, and we give them reverence. He said, we have to be much more, be subject to the Father of spirits and live. In other words, if God corrects you by whichever means, you have to humble yourself. If you want to survive spiritually, if not that is when you separate yourself from him. For him correcting you, for him chastening you, he's still showing you that he loves you. If you do otherwise, you are proving that you are not interested in his love. And that's why you separate from him. Then you operate from henceforth as a bastard child. Now this special condition in Smyrna must be applied to every age, including ours. There is no age free from it. Remember, Smyrna means bitterness. Means bitter. It means that every age will have some bitter herbs that they have to chew. Individuals will have some bitter herbs that they have to chew. It will not be the same. It will be different from one to another. The one that configured us, that molded us, he knows the amount of the bitterness we have need of to be able to balance our system. He said that in his word. The amount of things that we need to go through that will balance us. Some people are so they are prayerless. But God knows if they are his own child, what to drop in that will prep up their prayer life. Some God will just look at them that they are already getting proud. He will drop something that will bring them down. He's working in the midst of the people now. He's looking at everybody. He sees the way you are behaving. He sees everything. He knows what you need. So, So where you need a little bit of a bitter pill, he drop it. And he's working in the midst of the people. Mm-hmm. You say, God, see me like this. He say, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. I know why I have to drop that one there. I know. We've got to walk this race with fear and trembling. Anyone that is a serpent seed is free. You can do what you like. This world is your home. Abraham told us in one of the messages that sometimes when there is time for struggling, he said, you give them the front seat and you take the back seat. He said, because this may be all that they will ever enjoy. Enjoy it, because this is all that they don't need to struggle with much with them. Let them enjoy it. Our own time of enjoyment is a future. Amen. Oh, merciful God. There is no true believer. There is no true believer free from it. We are not talking of, Abraham said, no true believer coming out from age to individuals now. That there is no true believer that is free from this small bitter herb that they will have to swallow. No true believer. So why can somebody come and give testimony? Since I believe, everything I've been fine. No trial, no temptation. I just thank God. I just see his love everywhere. You are testified that you are a bastard. If you know what you are talking about. This is of God. Abraham says, this suffering is of God. This is the will of God. It is needful. We need the Lord to teach us the truth that we are to suffer and be Christ-like in doing it. You got to be Christ-like in doing it, in going through the suffering. We'll see how we'll do it as we go forward. Because the time is going now. Love suffereth long and is kind. Matthew 5:11-12 said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall see all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. He said, the cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. That things are rough. That things are bitter. That there are more sorrow on the right and on the left. It is not a sign of God's disapproval. It's not a sign that God hates you. It's not a sign that God is not interested in you. It's not a sign that you are not an elect. As you come out of one, you enter into another one. You come out of one, you enter into another one. You come out of one, you enter into another one. Ah! Now me only be one. After all, the other day, I see the sister give testimony. The brother give testimony. Maybe now, you also give testimony. You also have a testimony. And the testimony that you have is that I'm a child of God. Oh, sure. Only you don't want to give it. But you also have a testimony to give. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. Everything is rosy. The waters are still and calm. Everything is moving fine. I can see it turning around. See everything turning around. See everything turning around for man. It's wonderful. Everybody wants everything to turn around for their good. But that is not the sign of God's approval. If that is it, how will Buhari sink? What about the Miloka himself? How will he sink? Is everything not turning around? From the age of 20-something, he has been in government. And up to now, until he got to the highest seat, by crook or by whatsoever, he did it. Things are spoken. He no get certificate. He was a drug baron. There's evidence later that the court, he has to give us also $460,000 or $200,000 because of this and that. Despite all the evidences, the powers that be, they close their eyes. They close their ears. They know they hear. See bullion van that carry money in and out doing lessons. They know he hear. If he's going to sink, is everything not turning around? He's turning around for his good. But those are not the signs of God's approval. His approval of any of us is only in the beloved. His love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Does he love us? Yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because he says so. And he manifested that he did love us, for he brought us to himself and gave us of his spirit. Period. Placing us as sons and daughters. That's how we know. It's not that he gave me a car. That's not how I know. It's not that I built house. That's not how I know. Now that because I have change of apparel, that's not how I know. My joy never increased when I have only one shoe to when I have 8 shoes or 5 shoes. It's the same. I'm the same person. Since I've come to know this way of the Lord, I've known that God singled me out of millions to choose me for himself. I know that you are mine. And there is no way, where he put me, there is no road to go out. Everywhere is fenced. The gates are locked and the key is with God. And he can never open it. Oh man. It doesn't matter whatever. If I have to eat today, fine. Tomorrow, I don't get enough. As long as I can just feed. Even nowadays, the more you grow, the less food you can eat. Those days, we can really eat level mountain. But now, you bring mountain, you meet your mountain there. There's not much that this body can. No? Just small thing you feel. You eat too much in the morning, afternoon is deleted. Right? Eat food this belly by 3 o'clock, that's all for the day. It's next day again. The signs of approval of this. His approval is only in the beloved. And as we know it, because his word says so. And he has manifested and proved it by calling us, filling us with his spirit, and placing us as his sons and daughters. Amen. And how shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said, and by conducting myself with joy in amidst the trials that he in his wisdom allows to come to pass. How shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said, and by conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that he in his wisdom allows to come to pass. Not by frowning my face, not by trying to show to everybody that God is not kind to me, not by trying to attract pity from everybody. No. But in the midst of trials, you keep smiling. Pass one adage. When Ibanuji or Sifenti, Enyeta, the teeth is outside. No. So when he's laughing, when he's weeping, the teeth is outside. That's why they say there's no sorrow to the person that has a open tear or shoot out teeth. Because every time the teeth is just even when he's crying, the teeth is laughing. Where the teeth is always outside. That is how a Christian is. And it depends on how your faith grows in God, will determine how you will manifest these things. You know, in the Old Testament, you will see everybody carry their lamp, go meet the priest, adore this one. The Bible said that even the priest himself is a man like themselves. He himself also had to offer for himself some of his own errors. Today, you won't go meet pastor. Pastor, he's also a human being. He gets where shoes they pay him to. So, and you want him to just forget about whatever is wrong with him and stay with you for maybe for 3 months. Now only your case. Pastor, you don't forget. Did you even ask him what you two are also passing through? He's a human being also. All of us, we have to look to Jesus Christ, the author and the perfection of our faith. No human being does not go through trials. Everyone goes through things. But it is according to the grace of God in his life that we show how you'll be able to manage it. You must not, suppose if you go meet doctor in the hospital and you find out that the doctor you want to complain to, himself is complaining, you know that there's no treatment. There's no treatment now. But he has to pretend to be healthy and then be telling you that your sickness is not much. This is what we do. We do like you'll be okay, this and that. But he said when he pass it through himself, they also take injections. They also swallow drug almost on a daily basis. I know a doctor that put drug every day. He eats the teeth. Every human being, as long as you are a Christian, you have to pass through things. But one person is different from the other one. And God has promised in the scriptures that I think in 1 Corinthians 10, as we close, continue the rest some other time. 1 Corinthians 10:13 said, "There are no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But we, with the temptation also, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." That is God's faithfulness. Because he's the one that configured us. So he knows what everybody can carry. He knows what everybody can bear. He will not give a university test to a secondary school child. God is faithful. He will give appropriate test to the appropriate person. The one he gave to Abraham, he never gave that one to Isaac. He didn't have Isaac to go and sacrifice somebody. That one is meant for Abraham. He gives something to Isaac. But Isaac had his own. Jacob had his own. Everybody had their own. Joseph had his own. He went through his home, they ridiculed him, threw him in the ditch, bring him out, sell him as a slave. From there, he went to prison. And all this while, he was doing good, no evil. Despite that, the things were increasing. But finally, after he had suffered a while, God established him. God strengthened him. And he settled him. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? There's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. Hymn number 89, I guess. As we rise up on our feet. Will you give us the chord?
Trusting with all my heart for a great outpouring of His divine blessings tonight on us all. I just did get here. I was just coming in the back, and they were waiting out there for me, one of the ushers and my boy. Just as then, I heard only believe, and we just had to hurry to get in. And so we're sorry to be just a little late. Brother Cobbles was standing at the door and told me to remember tonight about the praying over the handkerchiefs, and that's very fine. We like to do that because we've had a great lot of blessings for the people. We send out many handkerchiefs each day around the world for sick and afflicted people and have a great success in doing so. And I'm sure that it'll be a great blessing to all, even if you don't need it at the present time. To carry around your house some little symbol of that. Here, some time ago, I have a testimony that I never seen this, so I wouldn't know. But I have no right to doubt it because it was a minister, and I believe a very good Christian man.
It a sister was going through her own bitter waters, when she was swallowing her bitter pills, as she got married to a drunkard, as she's a Christian, and she cannot retaliate, and the other one was specially anointed by the devil to give her her time, to give her thought time, to press her to the wall, so that whatsoever is inside of her can come out. And she did it. And the man knew that there is something with this woman. Yet the devil still continues his work. And in their bare joints, one day, then the talk comes up. Those Christians, they are not talking, they are liars, there's nothing to them. The man said, hold your peace. That area you are going, please, I have an exception. He said, what do you have to say? He said, not all of them. There are true Christians among them. There may be few. They said, have you seen one? He said, yes. Who is the person? He said, my wife. Maybe that one is a cooking better food. He said, no. This one, I live with her. So I know what I'm talking about. She's actually a Christian. She's filled with God's Spirit. I know what I'm talking about. Say, can we go and prove it? I said, yeah, let's go then. Then they went. And the woman welcomed them, gave them chairs, served the food, put everything. And the man whispered to his friends, we are not eating this one. I just want to display. Just watch. And he went there and become a special front kicker now. Don't know what number he played among the 12, 11, 11, and busted the team. Wow! Don't you want to be preparing my head like that? What nonsense rubbish. A foolish woman. Never take correction. You insult her, you doing all that thing. Foolish woman. And the woman came out after hearing all that and said, I am sorry. I didn't know that. I just didn't fix it good enough. I'm sorry. Just give me some more time. I will fix another one for you. And they came and stuck her into the next room. And then in a couple of minutes, they begin to hear a woman sweeping and singing this song. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Say, there is a cross for everyone, which that is just what we have read now. Every true believer goes through it, and there is a cross for me. And the woman was singing that this consecrated cross I bear until the devil will set me free, not knowing that the deliverance is right at hand. Because once the husband is saved, that ends our torment at home. And that very day, by the power of the Almighty God, without sharing track, without preaching no sermon, just displaying this life of God that was inside of her, all of them were converted unto Christ. They say, lead us to Christ. You check our testimony with yours and see where you reach. Let me check with mine and see where I have reached. Let's bow our heads. A church that is not going through it, that does not have it, is it of God. Prophet said, everybody, every true believer goes through it. What did you go through? You have not even gone through 1% of what others go through. And you think that it's only you that Satan is after, that is even pitching his tent right in your house. That this same spirit that worked in this woman, can you say the same that you have inside of you? The same spirit that was in Paul, even the messenger of the age, he said, a messenger of Satan was given to me to buffet me because of the abundance of revelation, lest I lift myself up. He asked the Lord 3 times, and God said, leave it, let that one stay with you. My grace is sufficient for you. Abraham had his own. What did you have? What are you going through? What is the condition? What is special about you? Why the question, why what all this suffering for? What have you suffered? Must Christ even suffer? Or who ought to suffer? This is a proving ground where we are. One of these days, as many as are approved, will be taken out of here in the rapture. And then that ends in suffering, that ends in struggle, that ends in labor. Then from that time, the moment the rapture takes off, That's the end of suffering. Eternally. No more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more difficulty, no more hunger, no more nakedness, no more no nothing. You are better than the richest person on earth. As we bow our heads and our eyes are closed, would there be somebody that maybe have a desire before the Lord? From the things that has gone forth, and you want God's help in this journey as you progress, I would like to be remembered if I will just lift up your hand to Him and say, God, you know my heart, help me. I need you, because without you, simply I cannot make it. But if you help me, then I shall be able. Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank you this hour, Lord, for this portion of your word that we have traveled through. Your prophet said, if the enemy is not after us, then he has gotten us. But we know that the enemy has not gotten us, because we know your word says he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. He comes in different ways, but victory is ours through your word, through your spirit, and by your grace. We are so thankful and grateful. We can say that either to your grace has brought us, and we know that that same grace is sufficient to take us through to the end. We appreciate you. Master, if there be anyone here, Lord, that have not accepted the person of Christ into their soul, I pray at this hour, Lord, that they will make that decision and they turn their feet to your testimony and surrender unto you, dear Lord Jesus. Because at the end of this life journey, those who did not suffer now, they will still suffer. Like we had it in Luke 16 about Lazarus and the rich man that died. He was told that you have enjoyed your good times on earth, and Lazarus is bad time. See, now he's comforted, and then you are tormented. Lord Jesus, help us to go through our own bitter waters here, to swallow our own bitter pills here, so that when this life is ended, we'll enter into your true comfort, we'll enter into your enjoyment, into all that you have reserved for them that love you. Help us, Heavenly Father. Lord, as your prophet said, the way to comport ourselves is to show, oh God, go through it with joy, amidst of the trial that you in your wisdom we allow to come our way. Give us that grace, Heavenly Father. Be our strength, Lord. Be our victory, O Father. Stand for us, King of Glory. We know you can never be defeated. And your word has told us, just as we refer to it, that you are faithful. You never give us more than what we are able to bear. And that's why we are up to this time. We are still standing. And Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Definitely you see us through to the end. Help us, Heavenly Father. Lord, those, O God, that are going through hard times, may you give them strength, Lord. Lord, may you, O God, put them where the shoe is paining them. May your grace that be sufficient for the Lord, sense of all, be the sufficiency of everyone, Father. At the end of it, may each one of us have a testimony. One of these days, we'll gather at your feet for testimony service. May none of us be found wanting at that day. Have your way, Father. Sick and afflicted in this audience, may you heal their bodies. May you demolish the walls of darkness. May you give them good health, O Father. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Whatsoever be the needs of each one and desire, you are the only one that knows. May you grant it, Father. May you supply every need. May your name be glorified. Take your sins higher, Father. Those desiring the Holy Spirit, may you feed them, Lord. Lord, may you refill those that have been filled. Thank you for hearing and granting our petitions. The service ahead of us, may you take us further. May your blessings pour forth upon us more. Blessed be your wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless you. May his coming gladden our hearts. All things being equal, by 2 o'clock, we'll be seated again for the last service of the day. Until then, may his grace
be our sufficiency. When I think of heaven, I can hardly wait. Oh, see my brand new mansion inside of me. I got to step inside, millions in I know. It will take me a million.
Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God, stands in your midst. He's here to heal the sick, declaring that I've told you the truth. I'm just his servant. But I've told the truth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. These people here are strangers to me. And they're strangers in other countries and other languages and everything. Doesn't stop a bit. The vision moves just the same. How do you do? That's your vision. All right, I suppose we're strangers, sir, to each other. I don't know you, never seen you in my life. We're total strangers then, is that right? Don't know one another. But one thing, sir, God knows both of us, and we're going to have to give an account at the day of judgment for our lives. You believe that? Come here just a little closer. I want you to look at me just a moment. Like I'm preaching tonight, as Elijah said, if it wasn't for the presence of Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't look towards you or see it, not laid into the prophet. He couldn't know what God was going to do, but he could only look and see what God was going to do and then pronounce it. Is that right? Well, what was that on that man, that prophet? He died like an ordinary man. He lived like an ordinary man, a Christian man. But there was something different about him. Is that right? He was a prophet. He was anointed of the Spirit. And that Spirit was of God. Is that right? That Spirit did not die. It still lives. Elijah died, but the Spirit still lives. Is that right? Do you believe that you're standing in his presence now? God bless you. Then I can help you. You're not from here. You're a stranger here. You're from a city that starts with like F-R-A, Franklin, or Franklin, Ohio is where you're from. Is that right? You were kind of shook for a moment. I just wanted to see that. You're suffering with some sort of it's a rectal or a fistula, the doctor says. Fistula trouble. A growth at the rectum. Got a wife. Yes, she's with diabetes. When you go lay hands on her, and she'll get well too. God Almighty, who rose up Jesus Christ, bless the people and bring these things to pass in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. As you believe, so will it be. All right. Do you believe? I couldn't do nothing but pray for you. Your trouble is your eye and this tumor on your eye. You believe God will make you well? Come here. Christ Jesus, Son of God, I ask blessings for this woman and ask that she go in peace and may the spirit that's in those growths, may it leave tonight and may the woman be well. May they shrink away, for I now ask God's blessing for this purpose in Jesus Christ's name, His Son. Amen. All right. You were healed while you were studying. Something come over you. Is that right? You were healed then. Just be on your road rejoicing. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Come, lady. You believe me to be God's servant? And if I be God's servant, I'll be able to help you. If you believe, for it's just your attitude of approach will determine what you get. Some of them, when he would tell the people in the audience,
what was wrong with them or so forth. They believed him. The woman had touched him. But the one that put a rag around his head and hit him with a stick and said, "Now tell me who hits you if you know all things." They didn't feel nothing. They didn't approach it right. Just the way you approach it. Is that right? I can tell you now, it's not for you. It's for the child. For I see the child standing here in front of me. And the child is serious enough sick till it's been to a doctor. Yes. Not only that, but the child is up for surgery now. And I see the doctor looking in his nose. If this nose condition. Got a little thing in his nose looking. And now if the breath is shut off in one side of its nose, it can't breathe out of one side of its nose. Are those things true, lady? You heard what was said? Now that wasn't me. That was him. Now do you believe for the child? Bring it to me. Dear Heavenly Father, Thou hold this darling little baby here, knowing that surgery lays before the little thing. I pray for Your mercy to protect the child. Grant it, Lord. I lay my hands upon it now. When You were here, You laid Your hands upon the children and bless them, and I do likewise tonight. May Your Spirit, Lord Jesus, come through the body of Your servant as a transmitter into this child and condemn this darkness that hangs over the child, and may it fade away, and may the bright sunlight of God come upon the child and be made whole. I condemn this disease in Jesus Christ's name. Now, I breathe out now. Breathe out. Can you breathe? I breathe out. Can you breathe? The child cannot breathe outside its nose. Now breathe, honey. Shut your little mouth. Now, shut and breathe over here. Breathing all right? It's okay? Feels good?
Amen.
Jesus feels good.
Say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
God bless you, sister.
Praise the Lord.
Your faith has saved the child. You believe the heart trouble left you while you were sitting there? I did. Just keep going and saying, praise be to God. All right. And you had the same thing, didn't you? Just keep going. Jesus Christ makes you whole. All right. Come. Pretty sick, aren't you, sir? Nothing can help you but God. That death lays near your gate of that demon that's holding you cancer. But God can make you well. Do you believe that? Almighty God, I condemn the enemy upon this man's body, and may he go and be made well and live for God's glory. In Jesus' name, His Son, I ask it. Amen. God bless you, sir. Don't doubt a bit. It'll leave you and you'll get perfectly normal and well. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen. All right. God bless you now. Go in the peace of God be upon you. Come. Do you believe, lady, with all your heart?
Yes, sir.
You notice how the man's walking when he left here? Stumbling, limping, coming up. There he goes back walking normally. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One thing that I can't understand, that is how people that profess to be Christian can see the working of Jesus Christ and hold their peace. I can't. Not as I'm wanting you to glorify nothing in the building, I'm wanting you to say, oh God, how thankful we are that our religion is not false. How could you accept signs and wonders, say that your religion is no more than Mohammed's? The Mohammedans has all the psychology, the teaching, their own Bible. So does Buddha. So does all the other gods. They have their teachings, their Bibles. They have everything else rejoicing, but let one of them produce the resurrection and power one time.
Amen.
This proves Christianity is the truth.
Amen.
Proves that then, if these things are true Christianity, unbelievers are condemned to doom to die without repentance. So every sinner, repent of your sins. Oh, you may go to church, but if you're not a believer, 100%, the baptism of the Holy Spirit resting on you, then you get right with God tonight. Your kidney trouble left you, Mother, while you were standing here, so you can go home now and praising God and get well. God bless you. Now just praise the Lord. That's all you have to do. Praise be to God. You think I'm excited, but I'm not. This whole building, I realize someone asked me, wrote me a little note and said, what made me rub at my face all the time? I can't tell you all things, but my lips get thick, my tongue. Stand up here, go through it once and find out how you feel after it. When you go into a place you don't even, well, amen. You just believe it. That's all I ask you to do. Believe it. Come, sir. See, you're limping. That's not your less. What your trouble is. You want to get over that stomach trouble. What you're wanting. Well, go eat your supper, and the Lord bless you. Go eat. Eat. You can go and be as well as you want. All right, come, lady. What you ask, that's what you get. All right. Amen. You want to get over your kidney trouble, back trouble, go home? Go in the name of the Lord Jesus and be made well. Come believe it. Come with all your heart. I believe I'll see the day when Jesus Christ will restore normal legs, take away artificial. I never done it in the Bible, but I believe we're going to receive greater things than that.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. Oh, His love, His grace, how it moves to the people. How wonderful. How matchless. How I adore Him. How He's the fairest of 10,000. The great Alpha Omega. The resurrected Lord Jesus, who shall come with 10,000s of His saints to magnify the little flock to redeem them up into glory with Him. He, the most lovely one, stands in our midst tonight with His arms stretched forth, saying, whosoever will, let him come and drink from the fountains of the water of life. Adore Him, the matchless one. Let everyone be in reverence to Him. Let them sing praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May His name forever stand, of whom heavens and earth is named after. The whole families of creation is called Jesus. Blessed be His name. Oh, how wonderful.